Okay, it looks like we're a go. So I am going to be teaching on John 21 today. This is the last chapter of the Gospel of John. In it, he relates an appearance of the Lord Jesus after the resurrection. This actually happened between 8 days and a few days after that of Easter. And so I thought, you know, the correlation, because we're 2 weeks after Easter now, this would be a great thing to talk about this morning. Before I get into it, I looked up these appearances of Jesus after he rose from the dead, because the thing is it's different. Before the crucifixion, Jesus was with his disciples on a daily basis for 3 years. After he rose again, it appears that he was not with them on a daily basis. I think he's kind of weaning them off, himself, so that they themselves can begin to bring the word to the world. And so we know from various, I looked through the various accounts of the gospel, and they each have, you know, somewhat different stories to tell, and sometimes the same story. But what I get from that, you know, the women went to the grave early on the first day of the week, and the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And they didn't know what to do. They ran back and told the disciples who were gathered together. And the disciples didn't know what to do either. They kind of, they didn't believe them. But Peter and John went running to the tomb. And it looks like Mary Magdalene followed after them. And Peter and John saw the empty tomb. Peter first, and then John says he looked in and he saw the empty tomb and he believed. But they didn't see Jesus yet. And Mary Magdalene, who was following after and then weeping, Jesus appeared to her. Mary Magdalene was the first one that Jesus appeared to. And then he appeared apparently to the four women, the other women that were with her, he appeared again. So this was Mary Magdalene, another Mary. We get different, the names, you've got to go through all of the gospel accounts to get all the names here. But there was a Salome and a Joanna, and another Mary. Salome is thought to be the mother of James and John, the apostles. The other Mary, there was a Mary that John, in the Gospel of John, he relates that Mary, the mother of Clopas, was with Jesus' mother when Jesus was crucified. And that seems to be the other Mary then who went to the grave on Easter morning. Interesting, because the next person Jesus appeared to was Cleopas and his companion, who were on the road to Emmaus on Easter morning. They didn't recognize him. For some reason, people didn't always recognize Jesus right away when he appeared to them. I don't know if he looked different or if he was just, you know, wearing a cloak so people couldn't see his face or what was going on with that. But anyhow, they didn't recognize Jesus until they stopped for something to eat. And then they recognized who Jesus was. And then they went back to Jerusalem and they told the disciples, who told them, yeah, he's appeared to the women and he appeared to Peter. And then suddenly Jesus was in the room with them. And so all this happened on Easter. And so all the disciples, except for Thomas, saw him on Easter day. But Jesus had told them through the women to go to Galilee, where I'll meet with you. And so John tells us that 8 days later, after he had appeared to the disciples, less Thomas, he appeared to the 11, including Thomas, in Galilee, so 8 days later. This occurrence happened, and John tells us in the midst of this, that's now the third time he appeared to the disciples, happened probably just a couple, 3 days after that time when Jesus showed himself to disciples. This is the last appearance that John talks about. The other Gospels tell us that Jesus met with all 11 on a mountain in Galilee, which is when he gave them the great commission, said, go into all the world and make disciples. Paul tells us that he was seen by 500, as many as 500 people at one time. after he rose from the dead. So that would have been within the 40 days between Easter and when Jesus ascended into heaven. We're told that Jesus also appeared to James, his half-brother, during that time. And then, of course, there was his last appearance on the Mount of Olives back in Jerusalem, when he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they saw him ascending to heaven. So these are the appearances of Jesus. So this is one of them kind of in the midst of this that we're going to be talking about this morning. And to preface this, I want you to think, you know, all these appearances of Jesus are, they're kind of anticlimactic, because the climax of the gospel is the resurrection. It's the crucifixion and the resurrection from the dead. And so these appearances of Jesus, you know, afterwards are kind of, they're anticlimactic. And so get this picture. Something big has happened that you've been a part of. You worked toward for a long time. You were gearing up toward it, and then it happened. And then what's next? So that's the title for this sermon is, that's great, but what do I do now? That's great, but what do I do now? So there was this collection of misfits that went to the big city expecting great things to happen, but they ran into a lot of opposition and some bad things happened. And just when it seemed like the dream had totally unraveled, a miracle happened. And there was a glorious victory. I'm talking about the Muppets. They got the theater. They made the movie. And, oops, we don't have any sound. He's saying, what do we do now? So, what do we do now? So, getting into John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. So seven of the 11 remaining after, you know, Judas abandoned the crew. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, well, we'll go with you. So what do we do now? I mean, these guys are fishermen, right? So let's go fishing. There are probably, you know, some guys that we know that, you know, that would kind of be a default for them too. What do we do now? Let's go fishing. So that's what they did. So they went out, they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. He tells us later on, they're about 100 yards out in the lake, and so logically, they may not have been able to see his face. But Jesus said to them, called to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. Wait a minute. We've heard this story before. Joey just preached on Luke 5 not too many weeks ago, when the same thing happened, except that was before the disciples were called. That was at the beginning of his ministry, when he's teaching to a crowd and these fishermen are out in the boat. They've been fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. And then Jesus says, throw the net on the other side. There we go. There's the lake. And Peter said, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. So, what happened? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell on his knees at Jesus. He fell at Jesus' knees. He said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. This was where it all started for Peter. And seeing the Lord work on his behalf and recognizing, oh my, I don't deserve this at all. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. This is when Jesus first called Peter to follow him. He said in other versions of the Bible, he says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. It's no accident that Jesus played that same scene again after the resurrection when the disciples had said, yeah, let's go fishing. He's reminding them, yeah, remember what I called you to. You are going to be fishers of men. You're out fishing for fish, but you will be fishers of men. So it's a reminder, and Jesus did this on purpose. I've got to switch my page. So, going on. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. Well, of course, we've seen this before. Suddenly, another time now, we see the nets full of fish, and John recognizes it. It's the Lord. It's got to be the Lord. He did this before. He's doing it again. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. So John made the connection. Peter, always the impetuous one, goes jumping into the sea. I think the other disciples probably got to shore about the same time he did, because it doesn't look like Peter actually got to Jesus yet. So when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Interesting, a very precise number here. John was a witness to all of this. He knew that number. Fishermen would know how many fish they caught, right? This is an eyewitness account of something here. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. So, I don't think this was a throwaway line when Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. You can be fishing for men. You're supposed to bring them in to the congregation. Bring them in along with the others. Bring them in. You're going to be catching fish. So catch them and bring them in. So Jesus is letting the disciples know that they are going to have a key role in building the church. So Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So Jesus took the bread and gave it to them. We've heard this story before too, haven't we? A couple of times. John talked about in the sixth chapter how Jesus fed 5,000 people with fish and bread. Remember, the people are gathered there listening to Jesus teach. And he was feeding them more than fish and bread. He was feeding them the word of life. So he said, let's get the people something to eat. And so one of the disciples, it was Philip, by the way, who said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Well, they wound up feeding everybody and picking up 12 baskets full of, what was not eaten, the crumbs and whatever. So that was a miracle. And the people saw that miracle, and so they went to find Jesus. The interim, by the way, is the event where the disciples leave by boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. This also happened at the Sea of Galilee, by the way, or the Sea of Tiberias, it's also known as. And Jesus didn't leave with them, and then he came walking on the water. One of the other Gospels tells us what happened with that. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and he got out to go to him, impetuous Peter. And, you know, he apparently was able to walk for a little way before he realized that he was trying to walk on water. And he started sinking, so Jesus grabbed him, and, you know, they made it back to the boat. So, you know, I'm sure Peter and the other disciples are remembering all this because Jesus, once again, is bringing bread and fish to them. And in the event, a lot of people went and found Jesus again because they were looking for signs. And Jesus is telling them, you think you're looking for signs, in effect, but what you're really looking for is you're hungry and you are being fed. And that's when he said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. He also said a little bit after that, he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's the gospel there. It was too much for a lot of the people. And so many of disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So once again, we get a reminder here to the disciples here. Here I've got bread and fish. But remember, I have the words of life. Letting his disciples know this is where you're going to find life. There was another event where Jesus took the bread and he gave it to his disciples. We know it as the Last Supper, that meal that they had before Jesus went out with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where he was arrested and then put on trial and then crucified. At that time, he told them, this is my body given for you. So again, a reminder to the disciples what this is all about. This is the gospel. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So the analogy has changed. We go from fish to sheep. You see, the kingdom of God is not just about catching fish. It's about feeding sheep. It's about tending the flock. This is expanding a little bit. Peter, you're called to be a fisher of men. You're also called to feed the people, to feed them the words of life that he was just reminded of, to tend to the flock, those that you caught, you brought in to the flock. And again, it's kind of like the Muppets. What did the Muppets do? That scene I gave you earlier is the beginning of the second movie, the sequel. What do we do now? There's a sequel, guys. there's something more to happen here. So yeah, we had a big climax, a great triumph, but there's a sequel. Now, you disciples, it's time to start the church. It's time to spread this word around the world. It's time to go and make disciples of every nation. Now is your time. So Jesus says, "Do you love me, Peter?" three times. And then when Peter says, "Yes, you know I love you," he said, "Tend to my flock, feed my sheep." And then he goes on. Jesus goes on. Don't you love that picture of the sheep? I feel like that sometimes. You know, like wide eyed, like, okay, what's going to happen now? Jesus goes on, and he says this to Peter: "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Wow. Peter, you're going to wind up being crucified. Follow me. And the point Jesus is making here, I think it's for all of us, is that following Jesus is not always easy. But what you need to know is that following Jesus is glorious. The rewards of bearing our cross are greater than the cost that we have in following Jesus. Do you know that? The rewards of bearing the cross are greater than the cost. Peter understood this. This is what he wrote. He wrote two letters, Peter did, to the church. And this is in the first chapter of his first letter. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory." Peter knew that joy that was inexpressible and filled with glory. He was able to talk about it because he knew it, even though he suffered for his Savior, even though he bore his cross. He knew that joy that was inexpressible and filled with joy. Glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, John goes on with this narration. "Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, 'Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?'" That, by the way, is John. "When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about this man?' Jesus said to him, 'If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.' So the saying was spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, 'If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?'" It's so easy, isn't it, to compare ourselves to others. It's so easy to look and see what other people are doing. And those kind of comparisons usually lead either to pride, because, you know, we think we compare favorably to them, or it leads to despair, because we think I will never attain what that person has attained. And pride or despair can really derail faith. So Jesus says to Peter, what is that to you? If I'm doing something else in somebody else, what's that to you? You follow me. I wish I could get sound out of this. I wonder, I'm not even going to try at this point, but what do we do now? So, summary of what do we do now? Let's go fishing. Okay? Let's go fishing. Except not fishing for fish, fishing for men. So let's go fishing. Cast your nets as the Lord leads. He'll fill the net. Bring the catch to the Lord and add to those that are already in, that are already there. Remember that it's the Lord who has the word of life. He's the bread of life. It's the gospel that we're catching people to. Sorry. There you've got the summary. Feed his sheep. Do your part to build up the church. Everybody has a role, by the way. You all have a role in building the church. The Bible says that he's given different gifts to different people to build up the church, to edify the church. You all have a role in building the church. So part of that role is it springs out of loving the Lord, as Peter did. He confessed three times to the Lord, yes, you know I love you. By the way, some people think that that was three times because Peter had denied Jesus three times. But he's settling something in Peter's heart, you know, so that Peter knows he's been forgiven, covered every one of those things. Do you know that you've been forgiven? If you have faith in Jesus, you have been forgiven of your sins. So love the Lord as Peter loved the Lord with all your heart. Don't worry about what others are doing or not doing. And remember that the joy you find in Jesus is worth whatever the cost is to follow him. I can testify that to you too. You know, I've had trials in my life, but I know a joy in the Lord that runs deep. I can't express it fully. It's inexpressible, but it's glorious. So remember that the joy you find in Jesus is worth whatever the cost to follow him. And finally, follow him. Those were the last words here that he said to Jesus. Follow me. Follow him. So I'm going to wrap up the last two verses of the Gospel of John here. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. I love that. The world could not contain the books that would be written. May there be books written about the church in our time, in the work that the Lord is doing here. Let's pray together. Lord, we had that testimony from Marilyn in the charge to be bold. Lord, we ask you for that this morning. May we be fishers of men. May we love you, Lord, more and more. And may we show the world your love by loving each other, by building each other up in the faith we share. And we thank you, Lord, for the inexpressible joy that we know from knowing you. Amen.